you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
All right, the season is winding down and Giants Talk is here to finish it off with you. Welcome to this week's Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper along with Alex Pavlovich. Giants Talk comes to you every Monday and Thursday right here on the NBC Sports Podcast Network and is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. We have a very special episode this week because we get to interview former Giants skipper, future Hall of Famer, Bruce Bochy. Now, Alex, you know Bruce very well. I haven't got a chance to get to know him super well. I'm very new into the sports media scene, as you know. But were you expecting to wrap the season up with such a perfect interview or what?
I was wondering why we didn't do it earlier because you would have come on earlier. We never really thought of it. I've asked him so many questions over the years that and I've told him this. I'm like, I bug him like twice a year now. And whenever I do, I'm like, this is a lot fewer times than I used to ask you questions or send you text messages. So, it was a really fun interview and he's going to be here next weekend because he's going into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, which is going to be October 4th. That will be Monday right after the regular season ends. He will be part of that. It's at Oracle Park. They are selling tickets for that if fans want to go attend. And hopefully there's no game 163 because that would coincide. So
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
But it'll be fun to see. He's going to be there for the final weekend. So it should be fun.
I'm excited. It was great to talk to Boch. You know, obviously I think we would have probably spoken to him sooner if the Giants didn't become the best team in baseball all of a sudden. And we had a lot of actual baseball to cover.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't complain too much about that. Giants Talk is brought to you by Wendy's right now. Don't forget, you can get two breakfast sandwiches for just $4 at your local Wendy's. Go check it out. It's a whale of a deal. Let's talk a little teensy bit of Giants base before we toss to Boch. Giants just swept at Coors. First time ever. They've had two Coors sweeps in 1 year, right? Like this is, yeah, you this just is, a few weeks ago were saying, you know, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Giants don't play great at Coors. All of a sudden, this team just loves to play there.
Well, Bruce Bochy himself said he's never felt safe at Coors. Look, there's one team that swept the Rockies at Coors this year. One. And I still stand by it. They're really good at home. And there's one team that's gone in there and now swept them twice. So it is just part of what we've seen this season. They beat everybody. They're at 102 wins right now and counting. They, you know, Brandon Crawford said after 100, like, let's run off 8 more. And you kind of went, yeah, they could. If they get there, it's a franchise record. It ties like a modern National League record. So it's just what they do. And yet they come home and they can't lose on Tuesday night because it's such a tight spot. So, another really good series. And I thought, you know, the bullpen was just incredible and just kept those games close. And especially Sunday, there were some guys who weren't available. Tyler Rogers not available. Tony Watson not available. Dom Leone was not. And you just, you know, throw a Castro and Duvall out there and you're fine. So it's what they've done all year. Guys always fill the gaps and it's put them in a really good spot here with 6 home games to go.
Well, it does feel like a really good spot. We couldn't really ask for anything much more than this, but what I would wish for is for people not to hit Brandon Belt in sensitive places with pitches. He caught that ball directly to the thumb. It didn't even bounce in a direction. Hit the thumb, dropped straight down onto home plate. Looked like it hurt. Do we have any updates on that? And how panicked should I be right now, Alex?
Relatively. On a scale of 1 to 10, like a 4 or 5, it's because he's been their best player for 2 months. Mm-hmm. Like there's no doubt. He has 18 home runs in the second half. Like he is legitimately, if you look at the advanced numbers, he is there with Bryce Harper and Juan Soto over the last month and month plus. So I think it's concerning. And the thing that's concerning is that it's a hand, and you never know that, like Brandon Crawford said this after the game, there are so many bones in there. And this has happened to Belt before. So you never know exactly what comes of it when you have all these tests. The first one was inconclusive. He did tell Crawford that he was pretty optimistic. I think it's one of those where you can be optimistic, but you have to go in and see what the x-ray says. And I'm sure they had that as soon as they got back Sunday night. A fair number of the people who listen to this, we probably will have a result by then. But yeah, here on Sunday night, when we're waiting for the Giants to give word, it's concerning because he's been their best player. And he really has taken that offense to another level the last month or so. And he is a big part of why they're basically scoring 6 runs every single game. And a big part of why they swept this weekend.
I think we had already like mentally given him 30 home runs this year. You know, I made that prediction early on. Giants can have a 30 run, home run hitter. And even if he's out for a few games now, that Crawford might be out the window.
Yeah, you.
I say Crawford or Yaz, but I did say someone.
Someone, yeah, he's. It would be the, and I, you know, obviously there's a million reasons why you hope nothing bad happens here, and why he gets good news. Mm-hmm. Mostly just because I think this is the most fun he's had in a long time, and
oh yeah,
you don't want the captain to go down, but it would just be like the worst. He's had such bad luck in his career, and for something to happen, even if it just knocks him out for 4 or 5 games, for something to happen when he's right on the verge of 30, like they haven't had a first baseman hit 30 since Will Clark. So, yeah. And Belt's about to do it. And I, you know, you hope he's ready to go Tuesday or Wednesday, but it might, even if he gets good news, it might be, you know, the rest of this week, and maybe they get good news as a team and they clinch and they feel like they can rest him until the playoffs. But yeah, he's right on the verge of 30. It would be a real bummer to end at 29 because you got hit once again, which has been kind of the story of his career at times.
I mean, he almost had one on Sunday. He was just a few feet short and, man, could have wrapped it up right there and rested the rest of the year. But yeah, bummer about Belt. For those of you who are listening, I'm glad you know right now as you're listening what's happened because we're stressing out here on Sunday night. Giants magic number is at 5, though. Right around the corner, 6 games to go. So basically, if the Giants win out, they're in the playoffs. It's looking good, but I can't help but think back to Thursday. Thursday is in our distant rearview mirror at this point. But man, if that game had gone a little different and the Dodgers game had got a little different, we're looking at a magic number of what, 3?
Yeah, the flip side of that is I was sitting there on Saturday night thinking like, it's 3-0 on Charlie Blackmon. You think he's going to walk or reach base somehow, and CJ Krohn comes up. And, you know, we're sitting in the press box going like, this is how it happens in Denver. You walk a guy with the bases loaded and you give up a grand slam. Mm-hmm. And there you go. So, I you could play the game on Thursday. I would play the same game on Sunday. You could say this – or on Saturday. And Sunday was close too. So, I think they'll take 5-1 on the road trip.
Yeah, fair. You can't beat that. But I'm excited. We're going to have some real magic this week. It's a big, exciting week for Giants fans. And as we've said over and over, no matter what happens, Giants are in the playoffs. This is exciting stuff.
They'll feel a lot better if they're not worried on Saturday or Sunday. But it is exciting. We get City Connects on Tuesday and then, you know, trying to count down the magic number. And Bruce Bochy. So it's a fun week.
It's a fun week. All right, let's talk to Boch. Let's hear what he has to say about this team and about what the whole future might hold.
All right, it is always a pleasure for me. I spent 10 years of my life basically asking Bruce Bochy questions, so always fun to get him back. You are coming back to the Bay Area because you're going in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame on Monday, October 4th at Oracle Park, which is a precursor, I think, to the actual Hall of Fame. I promise I'll make the trip out to Cooperstown for that one, but Boch, it's good to see you, and I think the first question most fans probably have, because we haven't seen you a whole lot the last couple of years, is what's your day-to-day? I know you're a grandfather. I know you moved out to be closer to your grandkids. What's the day-to-day life for Bruce Boch now that he's not a manager?
Well, you know what? I'm still staying somewhat busy in baseball. You know, I'm not doing some work with the Giants, still working you know, with them. I go to the minor league affiliates. Been to San Jose, Sacramento, Richmond. I did not make it to Eugene. I went to spring training. So on the baseball side, I've been staying busy watching games. I was supposed to go to France and help them in a European baseball championship, but you know, the travel advisory had them at level 4, which is the highest rated as far as being dangerous. So I did back out of that, but watching games and then spending time with the family. Now, I still go back and forth to California. I have a son that moved out here. He brought a couple of grandkids, and so Mama, she was not going to be too far from them. So we got a little place here to hang around.
So you're in Nashville. I'm in Denver, which means I watched a Coors Field game last night, and it's 7-2, and the Giants all of a sudden are under pressure. And I started thinking about this interview today, and you were the perfect person to ask, because a couple Giants people actually asked me this yesterday: is there a lead that is ever safe at Coors Field? Did you ever feel safe there?
No, I'll be honest. I really didn't, because it can happen so fast. Trust me, I saw it too many times. Real quick, I'll try to shorten the story up, but Bob Tewksbury shut the Rockies out for 6 innings, and we had about an hour and 10-minute rain delay. And his pitch count was great, but with that rain delay, I had to take him out. I put in Willie Blair, who actually was throwing the ball well. But before he got out of that inning and a couple other pitchers, we were down 7-6, and it just happens that fast. And I'll say it's probably a little bit safer now, you know, with what they're doing with the baseball, keeping the ball in the humidor. But the lineup too, man, they had those Bay Street Bombers and the offense that they threw at you for years, and they're probably a little bit more balanced now. But back then, man, it was relentless, you know, with each guy in that lineup. So it's probably a little safer now.
But you mentioned being involved with the Giants minor league teams. Who stands out to you right now in the Giants minor league system as you watch those games?
You know, I went to San Jose, and they had quite a few prospects there. Matos, who you've heard about, Luciano, those guys. Auerbach, I tell you what, he is a grinder. He's a nice little player, can catch, play anywhere. He's gone up to Eugene and played well. Murphy was throwing the ball well there, Baroa. And I don't want to leave anybody out. There's a third baseman that got hurt, and his numbers aren't impressive, but I saw him in spring training, Casey Schmidt. He's our number 2 pick, and still – I just love this guy. He's a good athlete, plays third base, has power, good fielder, good arm, probably could get on the mound. But I saw Ron, most guys that you know. And so we do have some really, I think, nice prospects on the way. And, of course, I did go to Sacramento. Those guys have all been up to help the big club, as you well know. That's what's incredible about what's happened with the Giants this year is how deep their roster is. Guys get hurt or go down, whatever. Next guy coming up, he plays just as well, or if not, you know, even adding a little bit. So it's been impressive what Farahan and Scott have done to make this roster so much better.
You mentioned one guy who's, I think, my favorite prospect is Matos, just because I love watching him swing. And he gets kind of some Pablo comparisons because he just squares everything up. It seems like he just has such a good feel for the barrel. What did you think of him specifically? He's 19 years old. I think he led that league in hitting.
Yeah. You know what? He's really aggressive. You know, I can see why some people would compare him to Pablo, but he's not quite that aggressive. He can expand his zone, but he's, you know, they call it bat to ball skills, but contact skills are there. He doesn't strike out a lot. That's the difference between when you watch him and Luciano, who's probably a little bit more patient at the plate, but Matos, incredible bat speed. I mean, it gets through the zone quick. And again, his ability, as you mentioned, to get, you know, the good part of bat, the barrel and the ball, consistently, even though he does expand, he can hit a ball a little up or a little down or a little bit off the plate. So, and that's only going to get better. You know, it's just reps. And I'm sure those guys are dragging a little bit because they didn't play last year. Then you go through a long season. So I'm sure that has hit these guys all the way to the end. But congrats to those guys in San Jose on winning that championship, and of course, Eugene.
Big day for the big season for San Jose, big season for San Francisco, obviously. We're talking to you Saturday morning. The Giants reached 100 wins last night. And all I can think about is during those three World Series years when you were in the dugout, at what point in the season did you look at the team, look at where you guys were, and think, yeah, it feels like we have a real shot at this?
Well, I probably, you know, after the first year, you know, that thought, it seemed like it was always there. You know, it's one of those things, done it, and you think you can do it again. We still had our core guys. It wasn't like, you know, we, you know, traded guys. And so I really felt that in 11. And even though Buster went down, I mean, we hung in there. And I think, you know, the injuries in the outfield, our offense left us, you know, going into August. But 2010, you know, the mantra was, because we were 6 or 7 back in San Diego, who was having a good year. We just said, you know, let's just keep grinding. They'll trip, they'll stumble. And we didn't have a great August, and but they had their August was a little bit worse, and we were gradually catching ground. And then, yeah, probably, you know, where I really felt that that team had a chance to do something special was when we came back against the Braves. In Game 3, because I'll be honest, I felt horrible. Sanchi was throwing a beautiful game. I took him out, brought in Romo. They countered with Hensky, hit the home run. They took the lead. But off of Kimbrel, we came back and won that game. And that's when I really felt, you know what, there's something special about this team. And we got through Atlanta and of course, you know, went on to beat Texas in the World Series.
Have you ever experienced, you've seen it all as a manager, have you ever seen anything like this race where the Giants have been the first team to 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 wins, and they have no breathing room? They have the Dodgers behind them every single day for the last 2 months. That seems like every single time they win, the Dodgers win. Every time they lose, the Dodgers lose. Did you ever experience this as a manager?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, especially with you know, the territory they're at, and you know, I think everybody said, well, the Dodgers are going to win 100 games. But, you know, we've been the surprise team. And I'm not surprised that we're doing well and contending. But, you know, to do this well, I think that's fair to say. And so, you know, it's really amazing how consistent and balanced the season has been for the Giants. And it's credit to that staff and those guys. There's something, you know, special going on there. And they don't get down after tough losses, and they just keep going. And so, yeah, you know, the closest thing that would remind me of it was we go back to, what, 93, was it, when the Giants and the Braves were, you know, they were going at it, both winning over 100 games, and, you know, Giants lost out by a game. I was actually coaching third base for the Padres, and we traded Fred McGriff to the Braves, and Dusty's mentioned that more than once about all the Braves out, trust me. So, you know, but the biggest disappointment, thing about it, normally we would be playing the Dodgers at the end of this month, and that's not happening. I mean, think how much interest that would create, not just in the Bay Area, but in baseball.
I agree. You know, I was thinking of you again last night as I watched both Brandons hit home runs, and Crawford hits his 22nd, Belt hits his 27th. I know there is nothing more you love in the world than a 3-run home run, and this team has 234 of them right now. What has just been your impression watching, and especially watching these guys that, you know, you've known since they were kids, and I know that you always wanted to see this kind of season out of Belt. What have you thought just watching them tap into that power this season?
Yeah, well, they've always shown it. You know, Belt's had to deal with a lot of injuries, be fair to him, with the concussions and different injuries. And, well, he's even missing time this year. But, you know, he's always had that ability to carry a club. And, yeah, and, you know, Crawford, I think you look at him, it's probably even more impressive. Not that he wasn't a big contributor to our offense. He's always been very clutch. But where his numbers are at now, what he's doing, and the adjustment that he's made, and you have to credit these hitting guys with the job that they have done with these guys. You know, Gabe's doing a great job, keep them rested, the staff. But, you know, just little adjustments and getting the ball in the air more. And, you know, Brandon Crawford's talked about it. So, you know, and it just is getting, you know what? It's like they're feeding off each other, these veterans, you know, they're leading the way, and that's what they should be doing. They're doing their job right now, and then you throw in some kids in there. Wade, Wade, what he's been doing, not to get upset, but, I mean, these guys are dangerous. I mean, 1 through 8, it's really amazing. They get down, and, you know they're going to come back. It's, you know, they're outclassing everybody, to be honest. Trust me, I'm watching the games, and that's how good they are.
Yeah, Wade is, I know you just love that aggressive pull swing, and something you always wanted to see guys just, I've heard you say 1,000 times, get the bat head out. So when you watch Wade Jr., is that just kind of your prototypical, be aggressive, get the bat head out, and hit for power?
I love his swing. Oh, yeah, that's, to me, if I'm a young hitter, I would watch him. You know, he's even choking up on the bat. He's on the plate, and, you know, he's looking for a pitch, and he's looking to do something with it. I mean, do some damage. And but, you know, he's looking, you know, to pull it, get in the air. But he goes the other way, too. But, you know, that's an ideal hitter for me. And ain't no cookie-cutter guys, but if he has that ability that Wade has, then, you know, that's the kind of hitter you want him to be. And, you know, I've heard a little bit of his story. He went back to college, and his coach changed his swing a little bit. And, of course, what the guys there have done. But that's why they're so dangerous, you know. And they're hunting a pitch, and if it's not their pitch, they take it. It's been a fun offense to watch.
Coached a lot of really good dudes here in San Francisco, from Belt, Crawford, you know, Lopez. Who do you keep in touch with the most these days that you manage?
Oh, the most? I run into the Pat Burrow a lot. You know, I keep in touch with him. He's working our system. And we, Ryan Vogelsong, you know, I saw him in Richmond, and, you know, we keep in touch. You know, I try to send text to, you know, some guys once in a while, like Buster, you know, when they clinched, things like that. But I've been trying to stay out of the way, to be honest. Of course, with this COVID thing, that, you know, it's hard. You shouldn't be around. And mm-hmm. So that's changed things, too. But you know what? I love hearing from guys. You know, I'll get a text now and then. But probably the guys on the field are ones I talk to more than anybody. Dave Rigetti, I should mention. Tim Flannery, who's going to be up, join me at this event we're having. So, you know, I keep in touch with him.
This is going to be the first time for Gabe Kapler as a manager in the postseason. Obviously, you've had more success there than anybody recently. As a first-timer, what advice, if he asked you for advice to get through October, what would you tell him?
I tell them, really, you know, pretty much keep doing what you've been doing as far as your preparation. Now I'm going to add with that, you know, you don't always do things in the postseason same way you do things in the regular season. I mean, you may use a starter in the bullpen, things like that. I mean, the margin of error is just not there. But, now those guys, he and his staff have had those guys prepared, who they're facing defensively, things like that. So, he'll get a lot of help. You know, he's got a large staff. He's got the scouts out there now advancing, things like that. So it's going to be him, you know, just deciphering all the information, because when you get to the postseason, you're getting reports from everybody, trust me. And it's great to have all that information, but, you know, you still got to stay with you know, what you've been doing, I think, and your gut feeling on the, you know, pitching changes, things like that.
You were famous for playing the matchups. I think he does that every single opportunity he can get. Do you watch some of these games and kind of manage along with him and think, like, this is the matchup I would go for, or this is what I would have tried to do, and I like that he got this matchup or got this reliever into the game?
You know what? I do all the games, you know, that I watch. You know, that's kind of how you – I think when you do it for 25 years, that's how you watch a game as a manager, you know, versus maybe how a fan might watch it. But what's impressive is the matchups that they can get. I mean, you're bringing a Flores or Solano or, I mean, a Slater, for example, in San Diego. I mean, these are just tremendous matchups that the dream matchups for a manager that, you know, the opposing team really can't do anything about. You're going to leave a righty in there to face Wade, or you're going to try testing a guy coming off the bench? And so he's got some great weapons to get the matchups that he wants, and he uses them well. He's very aggressive early in the game, and, you know, that's to me, a pretty good way to go, because, you know, you rather those guys face somebody earlier in the game and always have them face that closer or eighth inning guy, where that's even a tougher lineup and have a better chance of doing some damage. So, but you got to love the matchups. And, of course, it's changed a little bit with your pitcher having to face a minimum of three hitters. It's you know, they've done a great job. It's been fun to watch those matchups.
You obviously had the core four and this veteran bullpen. It's really interesting for them right now, because the two guys who are throwing the best are Camilo Duvall and Kervin Castro, who are kids. They're 24 and 22 years old. And I don't know that you had a whole lot of guys like that. I mean, you had a Strickland come up as a rookie and pitch his way onto the roster. But what would be your feeling about putting a kid like that into the postseason, and whether – do you trust what you see in the regular season, I guess? It's such a different stage in October, but both these guys look like they can handle it.
Yeah, I think, you get all the information you can, even from Sacramento. And I was there and watched those guys. I mean, when they, you have arms like that, they just have to throw strikes. That's going to be the question mark. And they look very comfortable up there. Castro, I mean, Coors Field's not bothering him at all. Two innings of work he had last night. Of course, Duvall, the power fastball and slider. And, they're going to be fine. Again, getting back to what we were talking about, how deep this roster is, you lose McGee and, you want to rest some guys. You got Castro and Duvall to come up to help eat up some innings for you and big innings. They have some difficult choices to make, I think, when they set this roster for the playoffs, because, they got some really, really good players that have done a lot to help them get to where they're at.
Butch, you obviously were a catcher in your baseball career. So many major league catchers have gone on to be fabulous managers, from you, Joe Maddon, Joe Torre, AJ Hinch. What do you think is about that position leads to have so much success in the dugout after the playing career is over? Is it getting to know all aspects of the game, working with the pitchers, working with the batters, and being on the field, or what?
Well, I think all of the above, what you just mentioned. For a catcher, going to managing is probably an easier transition than any other player. That doesn't mean that, a pitcher or outfielder is not going to be a good manager, but it's just easier because you have to know all the different aspects of the game. You're the one that's seen the game. You're the manager on the fielder. You're seeing the game the way a manager would. You have to get the signs from the manager. You got to deal with 11, 12, 13 different personalities as far as a pitching staff. And hopefully you get an understanding of pitching and the different personalities that you got to deal with, know all the plays and things like that. So, that's why I say the transition's probably a little bit easier. And we're probably not as smart either. I think the other guys can find something else to do, but we stay in baseball.
So the question is then, could you see Buster Posey managing a team someday?
Oh, I think he'd do a great job. I don't know if that's going to be the route that he goes, but if he wanted to, he has such a great feel for the game. I still go back to, when he took over in 2010, and it's really incredible his age and how mature he was. So, I don't know if Buster would do it, to be honest. I don't know, but if that's what he chose to do, he'd be great.
I'm going to finish with this, and I'm absolutely not going to ask you if you're going to manage again. Instead, I'm going to ask you, are you just prepared for an offseason of Bruce Bochy rumors? Because I was just in San Diego and I heard your name about 20 times. So you're just going to have to wake up every day and see your name in the headlines.
Yeah, Alex, I was a little uncomfortable with all that. And that's all speculation. I've not talked to anybody. And it's probably a little bit of my fault because I get asked a question a lot. And I don't know what to say. I just say, you don't rule anything out, but I'm not pursuing anything. I've enjoyed what I've been doing. And I couldn't even go to the game because I said, well, that's not going to be comfortable for me. And I certainly don't want to have to answer questions there about managing, because San Diego was having a tough time. And I stayed away for that reason. So, but you know what, you don't know. And so I'm sure I'm going to have to keep answering that question. And but right now I'm working for the Giants. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, you look at La Russa. Geez, what did he take off? 8-9 years? And, he's back on the field. So we'll see.
Well, you look very happy. I know you're playing lots of golf, hopefully fishing and hunting. And being a grandfather, we look forward to seeing you next week, and it'll be fun. Like I said, I think you're probably 3 years away from Cooperstown, so this is a good practice speech for you.
Yeah, I don't think it's a speech. I just got to answer some questions, so that's kind of nice. I don't have to wire something up. I just hope there's softball questions from Murph. But anyway, I appreciate it, man. It's good to see y'all. Best to you guys, and I'll see you soon.